This week on the program, it's like somehow a dumber King Ralph, an animated, and barely a movie. It's Garfield, colon, A Tale of Two Kitties. I'm Andrew Jupin.
I'm Steven Sadak's British doppelganger.
Eric Field.
Chris Catt.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. That's right. If you're coming to the show for the first time because you're a massive Garfield fan, we're a comedy show that takes a movie, good, bad, otherwise, or a Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties, and kicks it around for a little bit. Boy, oh boy, fellas.
We should say it's okay to like a movie. I know a lot of you whippersnappers grew up with this. A lot of whippersnappers grew up with The House on Haunted Hill. I felt like I didn't say
you always it's bring okay this to up like for it. The ones that are terrible. Like the worst of the worst. You always bring
Chris,
this out.
Chris, there's a variety of tastes in the world.
And I'm sure they can take it when I tell them their movie that they love so much sucks ass.
They love everything. They're just full of heart and joy.
I'm not going to bend to their joy. Fuck them. This movie sucks.
But I'm legitimately curious if someone out there likes this movie. What about it?
Yeah.
Well, even if you're like a tried and true hardcore Garfield head. What about
a Bill Murray? Oh, I'm sorry, a Billy Connolly completist? Are you?
I mean, this isn't even a Garfield movie, really. I mean, you got some lasagna in here, like
sure.
That's about it. You know, like
we're naming it after A Tale of Two Cities, but we're doing the Prince and the Pauper.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which, by the way, that Errol Flynn movie from I think 1937 is really good.
Mm. Which cat does he play?
There was an adaptation of The Prince and the Pauper, and he's like the swashbuckling dude that has these two kids. One is the British, you know, like the royal person, and one is the peasant, and they swapped places for fun because they look alike. They got some twins to play them. It's a disgusting shitboy kind of situation, but it is
I thought
a good
they
movie.
Were, I thought they were duping Errol Flynn, and Errol Flynn was the guy playing two roles.
I think he was in on it. You know, it's been a while since I've seen it. I saw it at film.
Because what's better than
ago.
One Errol Flynn but two Errol Flynn?
Oh, wouldn't that be something? That'd be a lot of crimes.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fucking...
No, gotta build one STDs. Jail for those two alone. Just keep them away from society.
Yes, that's true. Holy shit.
There's nothing worse than being told you look like someone because the person that you're told you look like is an absolute goblin. In my experience.
Did someone say
like, man, you look like that guy. It's like, oh, that guy picking through the trash. You know what I mean?
I would think most people, if they don't know the story, at least would be like, Errol Flynn, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'll take that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll take Errol Flynn.
I thought you were going to say someone told you you look like Garfield.
That's what I thought you
might as well.
He looked like Garfield.
Like you're at a nice Italian restaurant with your wife, and there's like, dude, look at how that guy's housing that lasagna.
he's pulling real Garfield over there.
He looked like Garfield.
What is with all the orange hair all over your body, sir?
Sir, we would like you to use a fork and a plate and not throw the lasagna into your mouth, please.
Are you shedding? Is that what's going on here?
Yes. Very good, Mr. Sadak. You hate Mondays. Thank you. So, yes, this is the sequel to the 2004 Garfield movie that we covered last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here we are.
Because we're here because of the dawn of Chris Pratt, obviously.
That's right.
You can enjoy that now in major motion theaters.
I'm telling you, like, you guys, I got to see this movie, and I...
Wait, you saw the Chris Pratt one?
I saw the Chris Pratt one because the local theater near me, Andrew knows this, they host press screenings occasionally, and... With the kids ones, at least, you get a blanket for the Connecticut Film Association. Mm-hmm. You get a blanket email for, like, a lot of the low ones.
What's that
like,
email address? What's your actual address?
That is CHR. Wait, no.
Were there any other people there?
There were a lot of people with kids.
Yeah. Wait.
For the press screenings of, like, family films like that, they encourage you to bring children to it.
So it's not fucking crickets the whole time.
So it makes sense why A.O. Scott brought his kid to Australia when we saw that.
Yeah.
Baz Luhrmann picture.
They really do. In the emails, they're even like, bring your kids. We don't have, it's not plus one, it's plus family.
Because then the critic can be like, well, I thought it was a piece of shit. Yes. My 8-year-old was loving it.
Yeah, this is a trap. Because then it's like, you got the little kids, maybe not even your own little kids, God forbid. And they're laughing. Having fun, and then it colors your experience.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Right. And the experience of going to the movie is better, so therefore you're like, well, the movie is not so bad, but like, I'm telling you, somebody should do this. Take a piece of the dialogue from Garfield and put it under Super Mario Brothers during his lines. It is identical.
Yeah,
it
really.
He does nothing. He does nothing.
Wow.
It's not even a Garfield movie.
It's a disgrace. This is a disgrace to voice acting.
It is.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because even Bill Murray, he's trying here, which is kind of shocking. Yeah. He's doing like, I'm a Garfield kind of guy.
He's a party animal. Oh, yeah.
Because he knows it's a character.
Yes.
And he wants to create a persona. But like, it's like even Samuel L. Jackson, who plays a secondary character, is like just doing Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah,
there's no actual like.
That's what we want to do now. It's just like we want, you know, that awful Tina Fey commercial. I think it was a Super Bowl commercial where like everyone's dressing up like Tina Fey or something like that.
She's hawking all sorts. She's doing credit cards these days. I think I saw her doing like an Expedia thing or something.
She sold my mom a reverse mortgage.
She's handing out flyers on the parking lot when I came up here. But
Tina Fey told me about the fucking dinar miracle that's about to happen, dude. Now I'm on board. Tina Fey sold me on the Iraqi dinar.
Have you heard about the dong, too? Yes.
It's that Super Bowl commercial, and it's like at the end, Glenn Close shows up, and what do you call it? Tina Fey has to go, Glenn Close, because get it for Slow Joe in the back row.
Right.
That's all we do now. It's just like pepper in celebrities that are just celebrities, celebrities. Anyone that ever had juice ever is so much better than an actual voice actor, which is not correct.
You pay your mortgage for the year and you just fucking show up and do nothing.
You know, it was fun at a time, right? Like when one of those Austin Powers movies, you got Tom Cruise cameo.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, whoa. But now that is everything. That is everything.
So you can just point. So we can all become the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme of him pointing at the TV.
Exactly. Yeah.
We recognize thing.
But
hey, Chris, so honestly, what is your opinion of that Garfield
movie? Five stars?
It's horrible. It's a horrible movie.
It's horrible?
Because
people liked the Super Mario Brothers. I thought I liked it too. I can't remember a thing about it, but I saw it.
I watched it a second time, not as high, and I kind of enjoyed it. I think the best part about that Mario movie is the score.
Yeah,
the score fucking rocks to that movie.
I had fun. My nephews are cute watching it. And I was watching it.
I mean,
that's
sure.
So like, this is going to be
my niece enjoyed it, but it's a
bad
movie.
That's like the film critics
bringing the
kids to the theater.
And you know, there is a sense of kids' movies aren't made for lone men.
polishing a gun at 3 o'clock in the morning.
In army jackets.
One for Garfield, please.
He likes lasagna, right?
Yeah, I grew up on this property.
I mean, it's
this
just
is my
like,
childhood on screen, and if it's not the exact childhood that I remember, I'll fucking open up fire in this theater.
I mean, I would like to meet that man. He sounds like he has a lot of good ideas.
Uh-huh.
But my general thing, like, I don't expect, like, you to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. The character does not have to be what I remember it, but it does have to be at least interesting, like, a little compelling.
You can't just be talking into a microphone. Yeah. You have to be doing a character.
And it's just, it's like an action movie for most of it.
But so what's...
He's, like, training for a mission into an organic dairy.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Great. Any lasagna?
Lasagna at the very beginning, but not lazy. Not really lazy at all.
Nope.
Wow.
I don't like a workhorse Garfield.
No, not at all.
And now you might be at home and be like, what are they going to talk about A Tale of Two Kitties? Don't worry, folks.
We will.
There's only 71 minutes of content in this.
We're filling. Listen, we're vamping. We're padding. Yes. Dude, professional padding right now. I got more questions about this movie.
But think about back in the day, right? Our like earliest ass episodes, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Right.
Those episodes are like 35 minutes long.
Exactly.
If we weren't just talking about the state of like celebrity voice acting right now, like this would be the shortest episode of We Hate Movies to ever exist. There is nothing here, folks. There's nothing with this movie.
5 minutes of credits on either end, it felt like.
Yes.
And
oh,
then
dude.
It's 79 minutes.
There's
guys,
a dance montage, a baby bop ass dance montage at the end.
Okay, let's not get into it yet. We got a pad, remember. So this Garfield movie, better than the 2000, this is a sequel to a Garfield movie, which was better. You know, out of all three, the new one, the one we already did a previous episode on, and A Tale of Two Kitties, which is the best?
The new one would have to be the worst because
really? Are you kidding me?
Well,
worse than this?
Of course it's worse than this.
That's stunning.
That's
how long is this movie?
71 minutes.
71 minutes versus, like, I think 98 or something like that.
At least it's not 2 hours, though, man.
Yeah.
I thought that's what was about to come out of your mouth.
I will say, though, about A Tale of Two Kitties that, see, we're talking about. I think it's better than the first Garfield
movie. I think it's superior to the first Garfield
movie.
Because of the runtime?
The runtime's great. I just, there's...
effort by Bill Connolly. Bill Connolly's actually putting
Bill
some
Connolly,
effort in here.
I think is funny, Billy Connolly, in this. I think he's good. He's kind of like a British proto, like Dabney Coleman vibe.
I can see that.
And also the story makes more sense because it's a tried and true Prince of the Pauper. Like it's a very tried and true genre of story as opposed to the first Garfield movie is like meandering, and then at the end he's going to a TV station or whatever.
Yes,
like,
but there's a whole story there, and let me remind you guys.
I know
Tobo,
of course,
the villain.
That's true.
I'm not saying he's better than Billy Connolly because I do think Billy Connolly is the shining star of this fucking awful movie.
And Billy Connolly is Scottish, right?
Yes, I think
but he's playing British in this, right?
Yeah.
I think he's trying to de-Scottify the voice maybe a little. I don't know.
I thought he was playing English or whatever as this character.
Because he's supposed to be like English royalty.
Right. That's, you know, I know people over there shit blood when I get it wrong, so I just want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Do they take photos of the shitty blood or they...
Send them in.
Oh, really?
You know what? Post on Twitter, hashtag shitty blood. We hate movies.
We are going to get a P.O. box eventually, and you need to get Polaroids of shitty blood for Eric.
No, just send in the sheets, dude. Honestly.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Smarter.
Send in the sheets.
Send in the sheets.
Ooh, that means the nuclear test went well.
Bloody, shitty sheets.
Nuclear shit.
Here's a gross thing, speaking of this movie, though. When it starts with, like, the fairy tale kind of opening or whatever, and you see this flag that's, like, kind of a crest of a family crest kind of thing, and it's Garfield, and it's supposed to be drawn like a griffin kind of, and it's Garfield with like this long fucking lizard
dragon
tail. Gross.
Man, interesting to start with a fairy tale, and like, you know, your crass characters taking down fairy tales in an animated context. What was huge? Oh, Shrek.
And I mean, in 06, how many Shreks do we have at this point? At least two, right?
Yeah. Shrek takes place in England as well, right?
As far as I understand.
That's my read on the situation.
I mean, if Keir Starmer isn't in there, I think Shrek is going to be the next main PM. I think he's got to be.
Oh, sure.
I would love that.
Yeah. I was against Brexit.
Finally.
But he's Scottish, right? Can they become premier?
You would have to take it by force, Eric. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you would have to bring in your army.
Like a Shrek William Wallace.
Yes. Yeah. Hell yes.
Oh, dude, I'd love to see him watch fucking split fucking 10 ways.
Yes. They have to bury his head somewhere and the legs another place. I love that.
Oh, that would be the perfect way for Shrek to end up in my book. You also have in this little animated opening, dude, Breckenmeyer as Humpty Dumpty, that's degrading. And then Jennifer Love as Little Red Riding Hood.
Uh-huh.
And then they ran out of doing that, I guess, even though there's other characters in the movie, but they stopped.
They just, it's amazing. You're right, because it's like this big opening. And here is Garfield, the tale of... actual real places.
It's kind of stunning. I mean, so not only is Billy Connolly in this, you have Ian Abercrombie, of course, best known as Mr. Pitt from Seinfeld, as like the butler.
Yeah, also the wise old man in Army of Darkness. Mm. That
right. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
He's a nice flavor. I like it when he shows up.
Yeah, he's floating around in this. Lucy Davis from The Office and Shaun of the Dead is in some role that I can only determine is massive scenes deleted.
Yeah, and it's just it's more dad bait, you know, we were talking about. Because she is like barely dressed this entire movie.
Yeah.
As is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh my God, the cleavage in this Garfield sequel
the
was
titties!
It's something for daddy or the lone man. Now, Chris, this new Garfield movie, any bodacious boobs?
No.
Oh, here's something because I haven't seen anything about it. No, I like that.
Wow.
Is it because I know nothing about it. I haven't seen the trailer or anything. Is it full on animation or is it the live action
full
hybrid?
On animation?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay,
it's very much. I hate this style. It's like the if anybody's seen even stills from the recent Addams Family animated.
I don't care for that animation
it's
style.
Really cheap looking, really smooth, just too clean over everything else, and
no,
like
no real style,
no
to
design to it. Like it's really bad.
You know what I don't like about this one is or this whole these two movies.
Sure.
You got the actual animals interacting with
cartoons.
Garfield, who is not an animal. It's just it's a CGI.
And the
guy.
World. Yeah. So here's an interesting thing: in the world, and again, please forgive me. I never listened to old episodes, so maybe talked this last time.
Sure.
Now it was one thing. It was Garfield is the only orange tabby animal that is CGI. I kind of understand that decision, even though I agree with Eric. It's really bizarre, especially when he's talking to Odie. But now, his doppelganger is also Are all orange tabbies CGI in this world?
Yes.
Maybe.
Or
they've got some disease.
I see, yeah.
So, universe where they just didn't make them. Like, they're like the dodo. It's not here anymore.
I think if you have an orange tabby that is like from another worldly shaped like Garfield you know, like that has to be CGI because then that would be the thing, right? You just get an orange tabby.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the gut and the big fat ass and whatever. And then you'd just be like, well, that doesn't look like Garfield.
Yeah, right. I mean, what are you going to do when you need this tabby to dance to the worst cover of Cat Scratch Fever ever?
Oh,
man. And also, most of Black Eyed Peas Pump It.
Oh, dude. By the way,
that was a
baby bopping.
Yes. People do not know this. People might have forgotten this, but there was a time where every single movie,
had to have
commercial,
it.
Everything had to have the Black Eyed Peas.
It had to be there.
Every single thing.
In the first movie, there's Black Eyed Peas. So this is like, it's kind of a callback.
You know what I'm going
to say? Everybody was waiting for
it. Unpopular opinion, some of the worst music ever made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's not an unpopular opinion at all.
I thought the kids would kill me for that.
Maybe some of them, but it's some of the worst music you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
So we start, we see Ian Abercrombie as the butler deliver. You see the great Carlisle Manor.
Yeah.
I didn't look up where this was. It wasn't even in the trivia.
England.
Yeah, I don't know what the house was.
I thought something was made mention in the trivia. Maybe not. I don't know.
I wanted to cry blood after watching this. I could not bring myself to read that trivia.
All I know is it's not the Downton Abbey house.
And he gives him a plate of, is it a Carlisle log?
The Carlisle log at Carlisle Castle. Dude, it's like eating fucking buffalo wings within the city limits.
I would like a Carlisle log, honestly.
Really?
It looks pretty good.
Liver and kidney meatloaf?
Yeah.
Wow. Could I get it in pudding form?
No.
I bet you, Steve, it tastes like shit.
All right.
Put that out there.
It depends who makes it, but clearly I would want the lasagna.
It's okay to eat logs. Everyone can eat logs.
Yeah, well, there's people eat logs out there, dude. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I got a question.
Enjoy.
Because the other cat, is voiced by the great Tim Curry. Oh,
yeah. I think this role is what gave him the stroke, by the
way.
I
was curious. Yes, this is pre-stroke, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
And like, he sounds like he's doing a bad Tim Curry impression the entire movie.
I did not know it was him until the end.
Because it's a little higher for some reason. And maybe he's trying to do a character. I'm curious.
He is. I think he's trying to put something into it, and it's just like,
it's kind of nasally. I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe modded a little bit in post.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
He is, you know, he's given a performance, for better or worse. It is a character. It's a voice. I mean, it sounds like Tim Curry, but it's not just Chris Pratt reading a line of dialogue.
What they have my beautiful boy Bob Hoskins doing in this
movie. Oh, that's humiliating.
That really hurt. That one, you know what? You got me on that. That actually hurt me.
My dead man gives a fart 5 stars.
No. He has to drive Garfield all around to all of the Johns that Garfield goes to. Oh, that's Mona Lisa. Sorry.
I got an Arbuckle in every state.
Don't fall in love with Michael Caine, Garfield. Don't do it.
Yeah, so then we do cut back to wherever, any town USA that John Arbuckle
lives.
That's
the thing, is like, if you're going to call that, all right, you don't have to do Tale of Two Cities, although someone should go to jail for making this.
Sure.
But you need that, you need a city.
Yeah.
You need to be like, it's London, just underlined, and whatever this LA adjacent city is.
A Tale of Two Houses, I guess it mostly is.
It's so weird that this movie, like, which, again, I think that this movie has more meat on the bone than the first movie. And it actually leaves all that meat on the bone because it doesn't do, like, I don't know, Garfield going up to fucking Big Ben and being like, oh, what's that about? Like, you know what I mean?
At least take advantage of that.
He poses with it for a photo or something.
Yeah, doing the same tourist photo that millions of people have made.
We get the stupid, we do get one stupid Royal Guard joke. You have to, legally.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted him to shit in the queen's face or something, you know, have a little fun with it.
But my word, a cat is shitting in my face.
Yeah. Secure the queen for Garfield, too. That would be good.
I'm laughing already, and I think the fart gag we're coming up to is pretty good as well.
Yeah, because we haven't seen Helen Mirren as the queen yet. Mm. So maybe after that, you could have gotten her in there.
I think it was the same year, though.
2006.
That's right. She is in the field, and she sees Garfield running past, and she goes, oh! Now I have so many feelings about dead Princess Diana. But I'll keep them inside.
Oh, my sweet one, she was just like an elk.
So Garfield is interrupting like date night. We've got John Arbuckle rose petals all over the floor.
2006, this candy colored shirt, man, this candy striped shirt. Oh.
Yes.
We were wearing them. We were wearing them.
Pretty sharp. I think, you know, I don't like it when they're too shiny.
Yes.
But I'm okay. I'm okay with stripes. I'm a stripe guy.
I like stripes too, but this is it's like different colors. It's like blue and like white.
He
like
looks like pink. He should be serving you ice cream in 1950.
We were wearing it at the. It was the yes. style at the time.
It's of course, real bad.
When I got that photo with what's his name?
Leno,
Crispin Glover,
Ken Russell. No.
Ken Russell. Thank you, the director of The Devils, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. Many great films. I'm wearing a shirt practically just like this.
I love it.
Garfield makes some joke about like, oh, John, you know, you're proposing to me. I don't know how that's going to look. Like, there is a pseudo.
Yes,
it's not bestiality, but it is a marrying
it's a
your Jason. Pet joke. It's yeah, bestiality it adjacent. Yes, that's exactly right.
Hey, Chris, this new movie. Any bestiality?
No.
Fuck.
Sounds like this movie's got a whole lot of nothing in
it. Yeah, sounds like this is the better. Don't go. Just rent this for the kids.
But he's got rose petals everywhere. He wants to. I mean, I guess proposing at your house, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I did. Thanks a lot, Steve.
No, it's not that. I'm just saying.
The rose petals were all over the floor, weren't they, Andrew? So it was nice.
See, they gave you a discount if you just take the petals. If you want a full rose, they make you pay this.
Full disclosure, I proposed at my house, too. But it's not... I don't know. Just, you know, for a movie, it's like usually you go to a bullshit.
A movie, absolutely. Right. In real life, because I'm terrified of making a scene and I don't need to be dealing with that.
Oh, and like signaling the waiter. No, thanks.
No, you know what?
Skip all that. Go to makeout lane.
Oh.
Right? Makeout points, right?
Get shot by the Zodiac.
What could be more romantic?
Now, that would be an antagonist for Garfield.
Well, dear, then we've been together.
Bind your hands now.
Oh, great. Oh, great. It's you.
Wrap it up. Put this rope around your legs.
No, you tie him up. Tighter.
Actually, could I just... I need to see. Is that a real gun? Let me see these bullets. I'm going to do that. But if I was Zodiac, I would kill him too. I love that line.
It's like, just because people are going to ask, was that even a real gun? I'm like, dude... Right between the eyes, nerd.
Yep, yeah. Blamtown, dude. That's what you get for fucking asking
you know
questions.
What? You know what, lady? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to deal with that man. Here, I'm going to cut these. You're free.
You're free. I'm going to kill this guy.
But if we went to make a point, you'd have some sensuality in this movie, you know?
Absolutely.
It's, you know, instead of bestiality.
Yeah.
There is a photo. So he's like, he's getting all pumped. He's like, oh, I'm going to propose to Liz today, blah, blah, blah. And he's got this framed photo of Jennifer Love Hewitt that looks like, I mean, it is clearly just a frame from the first movie. And the way that it is in this frame and where he's like got it positioned, it looks like it is on the top of a closed casket funeral situation. It is just the weirdest. Like, why would you have this fucking picture the way it is?
You know, it's nice. I would like this photo, actually.
One time we came, I was away at college. My mother put two like high school photos of me and my brother up with a candle in between it. And we're like, we're not doing this. Like, neither of us are dead.
No, and it's all you have to do is it's the quick removal of the candle. You can have frame photos of your beloved sons, of course,
sure.
But the candle implies they have crossed over.
Maybe it was a dead to me type of situation.
No, you know what, Mom?
She is vindictive.
The card with the Jesus on it isn't making it better. I'm gonna be, you know, I know you mean like bless them and whatever, but.
Oh, that's not an urn, sweetheart. It's an ashtray, but I just put it between you two.
Want a hard candy?
What is the rule of thumb here for when someone dies? Like, do you have to put up a recent photo, or could you use that like the high school era photo for remembrance?
I kind of love on IMDb specifically. It's kind of this weird. I think it's a rule where like you're old until you die,
and then it reverses.
They do the legacy photo
because then you're in heaven, younger, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, they de-aged you with CGI.
I guess
when you
the idea is if you're on IMDb, it's like, I want to get a Burt Lancaster. Oh no, that's him from 1948, so he's dead.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. But or if you're like somebody else, I don't know, an older person that's alive now, you'd be like, oh, that's what they look like now.
You know what? Here's one. I'm sure it's any year now because dude has come to the end of the line. They will do that for Eastwood.
Yes.
Because Eastwood now, I think his photo is like him just as an old dude.
Yes.
When he eats it's going to be Man with No Name era.
Exactly. I can see that happening for sure. But he is also for sure one of the guys who would want to go out. I mean, he's not going full out like Hackman, but like wants to look as grody as shit.
Oh, yeah.
And just is like letting it go. Because you see him with the pictures from Juror Number 2 with the fucking beard.
He looks bad with a beard.
It's amazing.
Dude. He looks like a guy that's been, he fell on the floor and nobody knew he'd fallen for like a week. That fucking picture of him, that's exactly what he looks like.
It's
elder abuse. Someone help this poor man.
No, no. I think he's living his best. I think Hackman now, like, at his most unhealthiest, he's actually living his best life.
Right. So, yeah, Liz is on her way. John puts on some romantic music, and Garfield is like, fat ass Garfield. Here comes a fat ass baby bop song.
Yes. Now, who's doing this cover, Chris?
I don't know, but they were making me yearn for Ted Nugent, which is something I'm not comfortable with.
Well, the only reason I asked is because I thought it was the Nugent version.
No, it's not. Oh, for sure not.
But Murray is singing over the Kids Grinch Fever.
Better fucking vocal talent than goddamn Ted Nugent. There, mm-hmm.
That
fucking
guy
piece of shit.
Cats. That was a big beast lover, right?
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking it up because I'm curious, but it's a weird, like, he's like, Garfield, it's gonna be romantic music, I'm proposing to Liz. And we get this thing where if you ever were warranted even just like a couple seconds of a flashback of it, get him done up in a costume of some kind, Garfield's like, you know, John, I liked you better when you were a metalhead.
Oh, really? I missed that
He's
line.
Like, you used to be a metal guy. What happened to all the metal?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, cut to it. Cut to Breckenmeyer as a fucking metal kid in the 90s.
I know it's problematic and whatever, but you should still wear your Mayhem shirts and your Burzum shirts and all those. I don't understand why you're being so silly about this.
In this number, right, Garfield, like, puts the ring up his ass or something. He's taken
he eats
it.
It by accident.
He stole it, yeah.
And to prevent John from marrying a girl. What?
No.
A girl and a vet, too. Nasty. Marry me.
No, you're supposed to marry me, your cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one whose shit you pick up. That's the one you're supposed to marry.
Right.
I was looking up. I can't. IMDb just says it's Nugent.
Oh.
But it doesn't say performed by.
But it might be modified written. In one way. Yeah. But so Liz shows up, and it's kind of this amazing thing where, like, again, like, there's, again, if this was a 90-minute movie, there would be a bit where they sat down to dinner, and Garfield interrupts his dinner. But she's immediately like, hey, everybody, here's this, I gotta go. It's like, what is the rush with this movie?
We can't afford locations. We got the manor, and we're just gonna do it there.
But even still, like, there's a dinner, like, just sit down to dinner.
Yeah, you have the set, there's a table.
Just sit down and have a scene with them, and then like Garfield does something, Odie does something. But no, she's immediately like, hey, John, guess what? I have huge news. I'm going to England for a conference. And
because
like,
Jane Goodall dropped out and they got a nameless, faceless veterinarian from Anytown, USA to replace her as a speaker. At
Number one is Jane Goodall. Number two, the ghost of Carl Sagan. Number three, Liz What's-Her-Face.
And shouldn't the movie end at that big event? And
sure.
A lot of shit happening there, and that's the ending at this big. Chris is
the figure thing means the money there. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even get to it in the movie. Like, that event doesn't happen in the motion picture.
Like, let this woman take her coat off before she gives exposition.
Because it's also a weird thing, right? Because basically what happens is she comes over to be like, oh, I can't have dinner because I have to go home and pack because I'm leaving tomorrow.
Right.
That's not a good sign for John Arbuckle in this proposal, by the way. Like, what do you mean you can't sit down to dinner because you have to go home and pack for like a 3-day business trip? Well, what the fuck are you talking about?
Thank God John is persistent. He does a crazy thing to go and do
that. But that's the insane. Like, here's spoiler alert when you're in a committed relationship. Just let your partner go on their business trip.
Oh, my God.
It's good for you. It's good for them. It's lovely. They come back.
No, I gotta follow her, and I'm not going to tell her, and I got to be there. I'm going to watch her.
All right. Garfield, get my zip ties, my pillowcase helmet, and the whole Zodiac costume. Yeah,
Garfield, you seen the roll of duct tape? No, the bigger one.
But the whole thing, because the whole thing should be about their relationship, not Lord Dargis. Who gives a shit? He should follow her. And then they get to the event. Garfield somehow ruins it. It puts their relationship a little bit on the rocks. That's at like 60 minutes. And then you have the moment.
I get what you're saying.
The moment of loss. And then they rekindle for the ending, Chris.
That is a John and Liz movie. What is on the title? Garfield.
Well, we've been proven time and time again, you can't make that movie.
Here's the thing.
You can't make Garfield.
Here's the thing, though, right? Like, Eric, when you were saying, you know, what should happen, it reminded me, they should have just gone the route of make a carbon copy sequel, because in that first movie, right. when John is trying to like get in with this woman and everything, yeah. remember, they go to, she's judging some sort of dog show, and sure. Garfield goes yeah. and ruins that thing. Like,
there you go.
They all go to this and Garfield ruins that. Yeah. And just make it the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Or you can even just make it another dog show. It's Dog Show 2, Death Star 2. No one cares.
Exactly.
That's fine.
It's, but yeah, it's so, she's got in and out of this scene immediately. And then John immediately is like, well, I guess I got to follow her to England. That's what, that would be romantic, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh,
no one wants you to she's excited to have like a couple of days to spread out on that bed. The right. old, oh my God, it's my own hotel bed. Yep.
She would have asked you.
Exactly.
Oh, it's definitely romantic and not pathetic or creepy at all.
No.
Also kind of, I mean, it's not pathetic and it's not creepy. It's just a weird choice. Is so he has planned this whole thing to propose, right? And he's making dinner. He's just making this big baked turkey.
Like, what the fuck?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is one of the more sensual meats.
A lighter pasta kind of a scenario would be fine.
Yep.
Well,
exactly.
No, we got it. We got to highlight American food, the roast turkey, versus British food, the log of innards.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know for a fact, Garfield loves turkey. So he eats this thing, and
first he flirts with it.
He flirts with it a little bit. He's about to fuck it.
Yeah.
But
he fucks eat it.
After that,
John, I'm fucking the turkey.
Oh, it's Garfield. Like American pie. Yeah.
Like, but Garfield's like, oh, Garfield. Oh,
we'll just tell Odie we ate it all.
Oh, you got me in a stranglehold, turkey. Oh my God. But like, you are also your
don't
lady
eat that
friend
stuffing.
Your girlfriend's coming over right when your cat is going to be taking the most violent shit known to man.
Sure.
Like, I mean, with a whole turkey stuffed down that thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why he has to marry Liz, because she has seen some violent shits from Garfield.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And she's okay with it.
Because it's just, that's her business. Like, she's a veterinarian. Like, you know, what are you going to do?
You got to marry the veterinarian because it's free healthcare now.
Exactly.
Right?
It's free healthcare.
Yeah.
But so he drops. So, like, Garfield's like, oh, I guess we're going to England. That's pretty exciting. So he gets in the car, whoops a doodle, he gets locked in a kennel. We get some.
Right.
Again,
he's being boarded for the trip.
This could be a 6-minute scene, and it's really like 32 seconds.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I don't understand what the need was to cut all this stuff out of the movie. Yeah, clearly there's more here. The woman, by the way, playing the kennel technician here, we just saw her. We didn't talk about her, like, small, like, you know, she's just one in a crowd kind of thing. She's a squad room cop in Lethal Weapon 3.
Okay.
Very odd connection there. I mean, but yeah, this lady, she's the lady who's like, don't worry, John, they'll be fine here at the kennel.
It's a theme month for her.
Yeah, that's indeed. Old What's-Her-Face month.
I mean, this is...
Welcome to...
That's the whole name of the theme, like, the whole string of words.
That's how I feel about months right now. I'm like, it's not May, stop it.
It's that lady, Rory.
But so he's doing like a jailhouse gag, which again, like, you can get 4 to 5 minutes out of Garfield doing a jailhouse gag. Yeah.
Where is Garfield playing the harmonica?
Sure.
Et cetera.
You know, some other animal, what are you in for?
Yes. Sure.
There's that there. Absolutely. There's like maybe a couple of nasty dogs. Like, you get someone who gives like a nasty voice.
Right. Work. And then it's like dragging its ass on the floor.
That'd be nice.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I do wonder if it was, because we said that Murray is trying. It is. He's putting effort in. But it is also gun-to-head voice. He's not, like, fully going for it. He's just putting a little bit in.
Well, because everything that Bill Murray's done for the last 30 years has been gun-to-head voice, live action or otherwise.
But at least I get to see his
face.
Not
the Wes Andersons.
The man is.
He shows up for the Wes
Andersons.
Sure,
that's fair.
And the Jarmusch is when he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Should I go back and see The Dead Don't Die? I saw a clip of it the other day.
I love it.
I never saw it.
But I know a lot of people hate it.
I'm a big supporter of it.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Tom Waits' performance, you would love.
Okay, yeah, I should do it.
Just, I mean, like, think about, like, whether or not you like the Jarmusch dryness, and think about whether or not that would work for you in a zombie comedy.
He's not bending to genre.
I love Jarmusch a lot, but that one just
didn't work for you.
I got other friends that feel the same way, so I've always been kind of on the fence.
Well, why don't you be the tiebreaker?
So Steve's favorite thing.
stows away.
Stow away. But how? I mean, and you know, of course, this is a stupid question for me to ask. It's a Garfield sequel. I understand it.
Mm.
It is dumb that they are just able to throw all his clothes out of a suitcase and hide in it. And this American flies internationally, dude, and the suitcase is fine.
TSA exactly. is like, TSA is like, yeah, that's fine.
I mean,
it looks like he's got some skeletons in there.
I had moose in my suitcase that I didn't check. And they were like, excuse me, sir, this has to go in the garbage. They were like, excuse me, sir, you have a cat and a dog in here?
Okay. Exactly.
Moose? Like the animal?
No, yeah, yes. I had a whole moose. No,
it's a chocolate
hair
moose.
Yeah, okay, yeah, pomade or something, right?
But that's not even like liquid, is it?
It's foam, so it counts.
Oh, stupid.
Foamy.
Stupid shit.
Wow. Coolest thing is when you watch that, you shouldn't watch this movie, but if you do, when this shot happens, you can literally see like the actor's arm just throwing the fucking shit out the yes, window. Yes. Like, get the fuck out of here!
The stage hand. Like,
yes. Come on, yeah. Did you get the shot?
I didn't see it in the earlier scenes, but Garfield's got a really cool sleeve tattoo. I saw it throwing clothes out the window.
Is that the cross? Is Jesus okay with that?
But you know, it's a Garfield movie. Don't ask questions. But yes, it's insane that this cat is able to make it through customs.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, we go back to Carlisle Castle, and we're told that the Lady Carlisle has departed, and so this is where we are introduced. One, yeah, Mr. Pitt, Ian Abercrombie as Smithy. Roger Reese, the late Roger Reese, is here playing the lead lawyer for this lady's estate.
Yep. Roger Reese Love is a him. Good guy. Shocking.
That is
weird. It's very weird. Because even that fucking dastardly Robin Cole Court on Cheers,
actually,
I don't think so.
He's a lawyer, though. So yeah, is he a good guy? That's for your dad.
Well, I guess this is how much then Billy Connolly's crooked, because it makes the lawyer character seem like a...
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
How many times does he have to call Michael Clayton a month? That's usually half. If it's like a couple times a year, you're fine. But if it's like on a monthly basis, then you're definitely a bad lawyer.
So Billy Connolly is the Lady Eleanor's nephew is the idea. And so here we go. It's the famous, you know, the will reading scene. Oh, boy, is someone going to get screwed out of something. And
Dargis, like, is it?
Dargis.
Oh, Dargis is his name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had maybe Manolo Dargis gave the first one a really bad review.
Oh, my God. So it's like the Mayor Ebert situation?
Yeah. That's the whole time I was thinking about that, because he's just like, he is getting home alone this whole movie.
She sure
like from
is.
Beginning to end.
By barnyard animals.
By barnyard animals and a CGI cat. So I was just like, he's a total fool. I can see them grinding a little axe here.
That's why he gets his dick bitten later in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Twice, I think.
We'll get the dog.
Possibly
rips
a third time.
Rips his cock off at one point.
but yeah, so it's reading the will, and it's like, oh, okay. Mr. Pitt, you get to live here in perpetuity. You'll always have a place to stay here, and you can continue taking care of all the animals that I love.
Oh, splendid.
You know, he's super psyched about it, living in a fucking huge castle for free. Cool.
Can I get an assistant? Elaine!
I need someone to go sock shopping for me. And then, here it comes. I leave all my worldly possessions to, could you even believe it, Prince the Cat.
Dude, there's an old David Cross bit just about an old lady giving all her money to a cat. And then in parentheses, she said, fuck the poor. Because, I mean, literally, these lunatics leaving anything other than, like, you know, like, you want to make sure that they're taken care of. You want to make sure that, like,
sure.
Like, you leave the cat to someone that you trust.
Yeah. That's like, what's that going to cost? $5,000?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. But, like, leaving millions of dollars to a cat.
And the cat doesn't know what to do with it. The cat can't pay the utility bill.
But that's how you know it's only going to get what, if you send it to the poor, they're going to spend on stuff that they don't need. Okay?
That's true.
This is very important
like
to
food,
understand.
Food, clothes on their back.
They're going to buy a cell phone.
No, no, they want horrible. They want internet access. And I'm sorry, that's fucking disgusting. You should be looking for food, not internet access that would get you a fucking job.
The cell phone stuff is so funny because it's like, you mean the way the world works?
Dude, pro tip for folks at home, anytime you hear someone complaining about a person who doesn't have much having a cell phone, that person who's saying that is one of the worst people
Nightmare.
In your life, and you should really consider that idea.
There's a great scene, I'm going off on this one,
a great scene
from Fred Wiseman's Ex Libris, where it's just about a library giving away internet access and fucking cell phones. And like,
no!
Yeah, I was just like, yes, that's what a public good is supposed to do, you fucking idiot.
These fucking freeloaders.
Yeah, we got to close those libraries. They got filthy books.
They do.
They got people using the internet, which I'm scared of.
You should go get a job somehow without a cell phone.
Yeah,
well, go do that.
Why don't you just knock on doors?
That's what I did in the 1940s.
Pound the pavement. Go flip some burgers.
Also, they might have a book about a Jonathan Glazer movie, so they're also anti-Semitic.
Oh.
Just so we just know, so that's good to know.
Yes.
Quick, we were talking about Manolo Dargis and Mayor Ebert.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this on the trivia, and I had to see it for myself.
Oh.
Roger Ebert was alive in June 15th, 2006,
Yeah,
when he wrote his review titled Doppelpussy.
Wait.
First of course he did.
It starts out saying he was alive.
But he wrote it from the perspective of Garfield the cat.
Oh, that's incredible. Dude, Raj was an artist. Why don't you regale us with some of this?
I mean, it's a long one.
Just give us a little brief taste.
You can't tease that nugget and not give me a little bite.
I don't watch a lot of television because if you spend all your time on the couch, you would become the cat equivalent of a couch potato, which would be one of those pillows with a crocheted message that says, if you can't say anything good about someone, sit right here with me. Jesus Christ, Raj.
What?
But I confess, I watched Ebert and Roper on TV when they reviewed my first movie, Garfield, 2 years ago. Of
Steve, course. Could you do a Garfield affectation with your voice?
No, I can't. I was eager to get my first review, having years spent with the cramped panels of a newspaper comic. I mean, this goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. But I digress.
Yeah, get to the
Ebert,
pussy.
The smart and handsome one gave thumbs up to my first movie.
Oh, man.
But Roper, the other one, gave thumbs down.
The ugly
bastard. I'm saying it's good. Yeah, if you're going to throw that kind of heat, it's good.
Wait a second. What is the star rating for this movie?
Three stars.
Three stars.
Wow. Sick fuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Where's the doppel pussy? Now, is that just the title, or is that...
I don't see pussy anywhere in here.
Oh, man. I wish we had the laptop that you could control what F and search for pussy.
You can do that
on iOS. You can do that
on
iOS. Oh, wow.
It's the you go to share, right? And
right.
Then the menu comes up, and you do find on page.
You know
dude.
What? No, I shouldn't know this because I'm out. I got to go pound the pavement. I don't need to learn cell phone stuff.
Don't talk, pound the pavement. Don't talk about your sex life here, okay?
I'm sorry. All right.
Pound the pavement.
In any event, my career as a movie star now seems to be the real thing. And I'm speaking about my age about a third Garfield movie in which I would like my character to be based on Casanova or Neil Armstrong with a score by Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh,
was he high?
Yes.
I was going to say, was Raj taking some of the cancer medicine and he was a little loopy?
Whether I get thumbs up from Richard Roper is a matter of profound indifference to me.
Just ending your review of Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties by saying he should be an astronaut that gets sex
is awesome. Honestly, like, if you are dealing with, like, it would be so much better if he actually hated it because it would show that, like, you have to be inventive with this thing. If you just do the same old thing over and over again, you're going to lose what's good about you. But, like, he does shit like that. There was that fucking review of Limits of Control where he was the movie.
What?
Oh, I didn't read that one.
It is fucking nuts.
That's Jarmusch, too, right?
That is Jarmusch. Yeah. And, again, like, I'm like, are you fucking... It's the Brody thing where I'm like, are you fucking serious? But you're also the best. Like,
yeah. He was a legend. Yeah, yeah. You can fuck around a little bit, but that is
complex legacy. but a good man.
Yes.
But she leaves everything to the cat. And in the case of the cat's death, it goes to Billy Connolly. And that's the big...
I better go trying to kill the cat now.
Right. It's like, oh my God, that could be 15 years. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So?
It's 15 years.
Yeah.
But I want the money now. I want the money now. Give me the money.
Also, 15 years from now, Billy Connolly, he's got some grays in there. The dick might not work as well in 15
years.
Yeah,
it's true.
Oh. He's trying to bang Lucy Davis
he's
now. He's trying to bang Jennifer Love Hewitt now. And he needs the money now.
Hard-ons are happening now.
That's true. That's true. They are. They sure are.
The dick
are.
That's hard now is hard now.
Yes. And it might not be in 15 years. You just don't know that.
You know what? Right. I failed to consider that, Chris. That's a great point.
Look,
about this.
I failed to consider Billy Connolly's impending broken dick.
Just trying to give you some insight here.
Well, remember, through the events of this film, of him trying to get it now, costs him his dick, right?
It does,
yes.
That's ultimately actually true.
Eventually, a Rottweiler eats his Johnson.
Yeah, a bruised ballsack.
We meet the rest of the crew here. Yes, we got a bulldog played by Bob Hoskins, who's
Winston.
Kind of like the number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
He's kind of like the Mr. Pitt to the cat.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Mr. Pitt serves the humans. Mm-hmm. Well, the lady's dead now, I guess. Yes. But yeah, he is like, he's a butlery kind of.
Yes. You got, what do you call it there? Jane Leaves is a duck somewhere.
Richard E. Grant's a parrot.
Richard E. Grant is the parrot.
Stuffy parrot, yes.
The problem is some of these fuckers, like, they weren't, like, they have names on IMDb, mm-hmm. but I was missing
what,
like,
the animal was.
Yeah, because I was like, which one is Jane Leaves? I don't know that they ever said the duck name.
Wikipedia had it. It's which is which.
You only get, I only noticed Reisefans towards the very end when the rabbit said, he's the rabbit.
The guy who's the weasel's like a British stand-up or something, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then, of course, Vinnie Jones.
Oh, God, Sharon Osbourne as a goose? Yuck.
Oh, no.
It is 2006. Jim Pittick. Fucking. Is a bull, Jim Pittick from the great Mighty Wind movie.
That's right.
Andrew, we were talking right before we went on air here about how they should have incorporated some of the and friends type of stuff. Put an inflatable, like, tube around one of the ducks.
Yep.
And have a little
That'd
fun
be a great
with it.
Crossover.
Get
kind of
me a pig named Orson, goddammit.
That's the thing. Like, there's a pig in this movie, and it's just, I don't even think the pig has a voice. The pig's just kind of like a worker for the rest of the barnyard folks.
Vinnie Jones, of course, does voice the Rottweiler, whose name is Rommel, which I can only imagine.
Because it's a Rottweiler.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a Rottweiler. Nazi general. Yeah, that's equal and equal.
I do kind of agree. If you go to anyone's house, like, Rommel, come here now. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, you're like, oh, that guy's got a Confederate flag in the living
room.
Come
on out now, Rommel, Himmler, Goebbels.
These are my mice, Adolf and Goebbels.
And yeah, so this old lady, I guess she was for the Blitzkrieg, I assume. Is that the idea?
A lot of the high-class British, they were. Right? Yeah, okay, like, they had like a king that they were planning on putting in, right? What was his name, Edward?
Oh, well, it was the king that was supposed to
be the Nazi king. They actually had a Nazi king.
Guy Pearson, the king's speech.
Oh, the guy who abdicated?
Yeah,
he was a Nazi?
Of course.
Oh, is that right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I think in the movie they suggest that towards the end of it.
Oh.
But it's been a movie nobody should remember.
Yeah, nobody should ever rewatch the King's Speech in their life.
I mean,
absolutely
they're all
not.
Kissing cousins with the Krauts.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so Billy Connolly, wasting no time, like the same afternoon, kidnaps this cat, puts it in a fucking picnic basket.
Yes.
Mm. Takes it to the edge of the property, throws this fucker in a river. Adios, Prince.
He pulls a Noah, you know.
Sure, yep. Yep.
Let the river take him.
Flanders the God, get off your cloud and save my dog.
And it just shows you this guy doesn't want to get his hands dirty because a smart person would just take the cat apart.
Yep.
Hold on.
Budapest Hotel style.
Wow. I mean, but also, like, I kind of agree. Like, I think, you know, throwing a fucking cat in a basket in the water, I think you're killing the cat.
Yeah.
And that's getting your hands dirty as most people would get.
Like, it's a picnic basket, so it's, you know, it's a weave kind of thing.
You
the water's getting right in there.
Especially with this fucking obese cat, that's going to sink to like a stone.
Dude, totally. No, you got to destroy the ovens by eating it. Make a pie like in Young Einstein.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Right? They had the right idea.
He should have went to the pub. Like, this is when you can get, like, I don't know, any old fucking Harry Potter actor, get Alan Rickman there, and he's like, "I'll take care of the cat for 4,000 quid."
Yep. Absolutely.
And he comes in, and he's like an evil.
That would
cat
be funny,
assassin.
Right? Yeah, that's sort of now it's a little bit like a movie we didn't really like, right? The 101 Dalmatians.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would kind of have that element of the guys going in to try to kill.
Yeah, and like, you know what that is, dude? That's an extra scene for this 71 minute movie.
True.
You know what I mean?
That's
you could. Oh man. Maybe it would hit 80 minutes.
Yeah, ooh, baby.
80 minutes without your credits.
This guy, you know, Billy Connolly, I think, is good enough in the movie, but it's not a very compelling antagonist.
No.
Well, no. Because it's all plot. I mean,
money.
I hate to really harp on this, but this is always my issue. It's like, it's all plot. Like, the minute it starts, it's just like, well, no, we can't have any character building. The next thing has to happen.
Right.
So let's get there. Oh, okay. You know what? We have some downtime. Where's that Black Eyed Peas song?
Let's make some lasagna.
The worst.
But
meanwhile,
so like the cat's in the river. Meanwhile, John finally surprises Liz, and Liz does not throw up or call the police.
No,
it's strange.
He's in the same hotel as her. Okay. Right. Also, like when we have John getting to England, it's a Dave Clark 5's Glad All Over, because you bet your ass we're not licensing any Beatles tunes.
Nope.
Just get some shit that kind of sounds like it. That'll do.
Not so bad. I mean, like,
You would have to
get me the Yardbirds.
Hey, Liz, I know, surprised to see me. I got us tickets tonight for this movie called Peeping Tom.
Oh. It's supposed to be a class.
It's supposed to be really good, and I'm bringing my camera with me.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah, he is in the same hotel, and so the bellhop there, yes. He's like, take this note to the lady in room 237. Tell her I want to see it. And I'm like, dude, it's a bad idea from the jump, of course, but it's now this is an even worse way to execute your bad idea. Just have a bellhop come to the door and be like, here's a note. Like, I want to know what that note says, because if it doesn't say love, John, you're a fucking psycho.
Especially if you're Jennifer Love Hewitt by yourself, you get a note from some guy, meet me in my hotel room. I'm good, thanks.
I thought we were setting up a joke scene with her and the bellhop or whatever, and instead she just instantly walks in the room.
She just shows up.
I got the note, and then I love you.
What if, okay, here's something. Mm. Maybe this was kind of like a food fight situation. Mm. You know, hear me out. We're making this movie. We have Garfield, Tale of Two Kitties, all this footage, all these great scenes from this amazing script. Uh-oh. There was a chemical fire at the lab.
Oh, no,
and we lost a bunch of reels. All the negatives were gone. We lost fucking 60% of the movie.
Yeah, I believe it.
Right? It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would play.
Yeah.
But no, she's not disgusted. She's delighted that John Arbuckle is here.
I mean, she's got to be put on. Because you got to keep in mind here, when she left, it wasn't like, oh God, John. Okay, so here you can contact this person if you don't hear from me or something. There's no like emergency stuff going on. There's no like intimacy suggested. So you're just like, well, what exactly did you even like call the person she was here with to be like, hey, I have a surprise for Liz. Do you want to help me out a little bit
find
here?
Right. No, like, she's probably like, oh, hey, John, call me at the hotel. I'm staying here. Blah blah blah. Some people do that. I don't know.
I would hope. I mean, if you're that close.
But in 2006, like, there should be cellular telephones.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with this. Although
No. That's from the state.
Pound the pavement, okay?
International plans at the time, not as easy to switch that shit over as it is now.
That's so true. Also something that would stop me dead in my tracks. And I'm like, hey, I just stalked my girlfriend across the world.
Yep.
About to really get my fucking stalk in. I'm going to propose to her so I could keep her forever.
Oh, yeah.
Not let her out of my clutches.
You're mine. But my small dog and fat cat have stowed away and popped out of my bag. They're just like, what, Garfield? All right, well, there's food there. I'll talk to you later, Garfield. I'm like, no, what the fuck just happened?
This is your day. This is your day now, is figuring out what you do with your cat and your dog that somehow stowed away overseas with you, and not just, you'll be fine in this hotel room alone.
Roll with it.
Dude,
you just
I would be checking them for cuts and stuff. Like, what the fuck happened to these animals?
You get them, you put them down.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You did all you could.
Liz actually has a line that actually makes sense. She's like, well, you got to be careful. They have quarantine laws over here. Of course they do. You can't just bring an animal across overseas.
And I'm sorry, but Chekhov's quarantine law, dude, she fucking says that Odie gets taken by some very cartoonish dog napper kind of character.
Sure.
Hello, little guy. Where you think you're going? That's fucking something.
I'm having a good time at the movies myself.
I might get a second popcorn if that happens.
I might watch it twice. It's so good.
I like these ideas, but I got to warn you guys. We're getting dangerously close to a role that they would offer to Ricky Gervais, and I cannot stand by that. That cannot be happening here. That's where my line is.
Oh, boy, that guy, huh?
That guy's an atheist, dude, and you better fucking believe it.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's crazy.
It's really cool. Yeah.
I don't know.
So in your face and all that.
I mean, considering his career at the current state, I would start believing in God.
Didn't he just won, like, a Golden Globe or something for a stand-up special. Yeah. People love
him. Tell me this stuff.
I remember when that happened, and my only thought was Ricky Gervais had a new stand-up
special. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
Bury that shit in the fucking Netflix bathroom.
Oh, you a woke bloke? You a woke bloke?
He is one of the most difficult dudes for me because, like, I despise literally almost everything he stands for, except he does have a really good heart when it comes to animal rights, and I hate it so much.
I hate it.
I just want to be able to fully hate him.
That's usually the saving grace. If people know they're annoying, they're like, you know what? I'm putting all the money towards dogs.
Yes.
Tons and tons of money towards dogs and cats.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, back at the castle,
Billy Connolly is thrilled. He tells Roger Reese immediately that the cat has gone missing, and he's like, "Well, I guess we'll be back at the castle on Monday to investigate, and then we'll sign over the deed to you." Billy Connolly sets up a deal with Lucy Davis immediately.
Yeah.
In a very slim, skimpy dress coming in.
Absolutely. If you were forced to make a one-word review of Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties, one word that you could use is tit-tacular.
It is tit-tacular.
It's insane.
Weird. Something for the lone men. Yeah, one for Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties, I'll be in the back.
I heard it's pretty tit-tacular.
Sir, you still have your Zodiac costume on.
I heard Ian Abercrombie's in it. I'm just such a big Seinfeld fan, man. Mr. Pitt, you so rarely see those talents outside of the small screen. You got to go.
And so he's got Lucy Davis. Of course, it's going to be a land deal where he's going to bulldoze the place and he's going to turn it into a resort. And she's like, well, what about all these animals? Like, kill them or cook them for the guests.
And then he's like, there's condos going up. We got the whole model of I present to you Delta City.
Which also, again, this is like a half-baked thing that kind of comes to nothing. Because when all is done and over with in this movie, he's not like, and me plans for the resort are cooked. Yes. Like, there's nothing.
When all is done and dusted, right?
That's
what they say.
He grabs her and he's like, she's like, well, I'm taken. He's like, well, I'm quite taken with you.
Oh, man.
No, but seriously, stop touching me.
I'm pushing my boot against your leg.
Can you feel me hard, Willy, against your leg?
I can, and I'm going to call the police.
Call a Bobby.
It's 2006. Who would care?
Well, you got a point there. Maybe the duck will save me. I hate this shit where it's just like Billy Connolly's entire what he wants is just money
money
and just it's not something you actually care about. It doesn't it would be funny if he actually had a vendetta against the lady and they showed it.
Well, or it's a thing where he's pissed off and it's like, I waited on her hand and foot, in her final years, and she screwed me, anything.
That's transformation. That's going from a meek character, you get to turn into a villainous character.
Right.
That's an interesting thing to do.
We also get a little, there's tourism going on because everyone knows that the cat now runs the estate.
Sure.
So Billy Connolly's going around trying to do his plans or whatever. And he runs into Mr. Melissa McCarthy for 5 seconds.
Oh, yes. This one happens earlier, it's the same.
I
want to
get it in.
It's the rarest. A fucking by himself Ben Falcone fucking.
Yes.
It's the rarest of all things.
And this is a pre-fame Ben Falcone, too, where it's fame. I've got money. Or my wife's fame. Yeah, either way, we've got money to help me take care of myself a little bit. Like, this dude looks like a college student that just rolled out the bed, dude. I mean, he is disheveled in this movie.
What I heard was he was asking the director a bunch of questions about how to direct a bad movie. You know what I mean? He was just he was shadowing him. Like, how do you...
That's smart.
What are the bad decisions? Oh, that's interesting.
Hear me out. I don't want to make a good movie. I want to make a bad movie.
I want to make a series of bad movies. I have a really talented wife that I want to ruin her career.
Oh, he directed some of those?
Oh, yeah.
He directed a lot of those.
Oh,
bunch of her movies, dude. Yeah,
what were
awful.
Those? Like Spy? And
no, that
the
was...
Spy was Paul Feig.
The good ones are not
Tammy,
him.
I think,
I guess
might
I
have
just
him.
Don't remember. I just don't remember these movies.
I think Tammy might have been him.
Did he do Identity Theft with her and Bateman,
maybe.
I think? That's another piece of shit movie.
I'm going to pull it up. Here we go.
He's directed a couple of real bad ones.
It's okay to like them too.
And he still can't make them this short. He's still chasing the shadow of Garfield 2. He can't get it that short.
Speaking of him being
suckled at the teat of the master, my friend.
Speaking of him being in movies that his wife is in, I did not notice. Does he pop up in Unfrosted or no?
Ooh,
I couldn't tell
you. He has directed Tammy, The Boss.
The
Life Boss. Of the Party?
Oh.
The Boss is a bad one because that's just kind of a remake-ish of Troop Beverly Hills, which is a way better movie.
Super Intelligence, which I never heard of.
That's the one that everybody agrees is the worst of the bunch.
Is that the one where she's a superhero?
No, that's the next one, which he also directed. Thunder Force, ladies and gentlemen.
I have not seen any of these.
She's the queen of secret movies. She did that Genie movie last Christmas or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I think Super Intelligence is the Alexa
Yes, when it, when
like it's a super Alexa.
When an all-powerful superintelligence chooses to study an average Carol Peters, the fate of the world hangs in the balance as the AI decides to save or enslave or destroy humanity. It's up to Carol to prove that people are worth saving.
Could you imagine if it was down to Carol?
Could you just?
Oh, my God. That's a funny premise.
You know, I got all these bad movies in my head. You know, I'm a young guy. I just want to
get
him
out.
Get him out.
What's the best way to explain to an executive how to piss away millions of dollars on a project? I'm coming to you, director of Garfield and Tale of Two Kitties.
They love pissing, too.
Let me show you a picture of my wife in my wallet here. Give me money, please.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
Another bad, like, I guess it's, I mean, it's got to be for the dads, you know, and the adults in general.
Sure.
When, so of course, Garfield and Odie, they fake like a room service call housekeeping comes and they're escaping. Garfield 100% does a fava beans and a nice Chianti joke.
Bad.
And you're just like,
yeah, let's get some,
sure.
Let's get out of here and get some chow before I eat you, Yodi. I'm going to eat you with.
That's what it is.
16 years later.
Yeah. Just rolling just my eyes, dude.
Wincing.
And
well, you know, little kids love Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, they do. Yeah. they
Buffalo Bill's the best. Buffalo Bill. Black Eyed Peas start playing.
Let's bop our ass to Buffalo Bill.
Ted Levine just passes the camera, looks directly at it. Hi, kids.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
Oh, I can't even get involved with this lasagna.
Oh, dude, it's the Black Eyed Peas that Ted Levine puts on a hat and starts dancing with it.
And it's all in night vision.
Of course. Mm-hmm. No, but so then now.
Goodbye Horses. Now that was a bopper.
That's a baby bopper. So you get, now you finally get some Garfield running around. I think this is the Big Ben pit. This is when he goes up to the queen. He's like, these people can't do anything.
Dude, did you guys notice the line that he tosses at the queen here? And I think it's got to be a, we want the adults to use their brain to replace one word for another.
Oh, no, please.
The queen is coming through, and of course it's like the queen's corgis, so that's what we're focusing on, and you don't see the face of the actress. And
this looks cheap.
That's terrible.
That's no queen.
That is no queen. That is no Helen Mirren either.
But he goes, and the queen like ignores him or whatever, and Garfield is offended, right? He calls the queen a stuck-up little punk.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Punk?
Yeah.
What other words got a U and an N right in the middle? Dude, I was blown. I had to pause it and rewind.
He should have just said it. They love saying it over there.
I know they do. I know they do. But we can't say it here.
Why can't I say it?
I don't know how that happened. They get to do it and we don't. I don't know how it happened.
What?
Oh, come on. Let's have Garfield say it. They don't know what it means.
Yeah, these little kids aren't going to be.
Come on.
And now in this scene, Garfield's ordering some what we would call cigarettes. Let's see what happens.
Let's take a look.
They don't know what it means. Just let it fly.
What a wild country they got. Good for them.
Yes, and we
God
are.
Bless.
We are doing, of course, the mandatory, let's try to make the Royal Guard react.
Yes,
and
right.
Wouldn't you know it? The way he finally reacts is because Odie just takes a huge piss on his foot.
Sure.
That's kind of funny.
Now, is there anything in the trivia? Was this actually hot dog piss
coming
out? Or was this like movie magic? Was this actual?
Yeah.
Maybe there's, they probably, do you think they train dogs to piss on people?
Ben Falcone's like, how'd you get that dog to piss on that guy? I love movies.
I'm shadowing you. I want to know how they got the dog piss out.
You know, I read a book about D.W. Griffith and he said, just give a dog a lot of water and point. And, you know, I just think about that all the time.
Can you imagine though, if you're the special effects person who it's like, we can't get the dog to piss on command, so you need to strap a little tiny tube to it, the back of it, to do the pissing effect.
This is why Christy Gnome killed her dog. It wouldn't piss on command.
On the pad, I said.
But somewhere throughout the course of their London lollygagging here, Mr. Pitt is going into town to pick up some suits for Billy Connolly at the tailor. And wouldn't you know it, he sees Garfield. They almost run him over right in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, Prince, what are you doing here? Let's go back to the castle. And that's how that happens. And it's this weird like trade-off right in the same scene because Prince, who's been in the river, there is a sign that's like 40 miles to London. He's in the sewer. He comes up and sees Odie.
He's covered in piss and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Dufresne'd his way into the center of London.
He looked, he had so much shit on this guy. He looked like all the kids in the audience.
Garfield the cat. Crawl through 50 miles of shit and piss and God knows what to freedom.
They came on a free cat.
Now he's living on a beach, fixing up a boat.
San Juantaneo.
San Juantacato.
I'd like to say that the sisters didn't get to Garfield that day. I really would.
Oh, my God.
But a kennel isn't a nice place.
There you go. You get Morgan Freeman as some other cat. Sure. Now we got a movie.
Prison movie would be better. Just do the kennel. It's the kennel story. Yeah.
Also, 06, like, we were still loving that March of the Penguins movie.
Sure,
that was when, I guess, you know, we were like, oh, yeah, he does voiceover really well.
Yeah.
So you could have done it again right here. That would have been something.
If you had stock in Morgan Freeman, you should have sold it right at that point. That's the highest it ever went.
Right. Yep.
Did anyone ever see The Farce of the Penguins?
No.
Oh, the Saget thing?
Yeah.
I think I saw clips of it. I never watched it.
It was a room full of high dudes in 2007 or whatever it was.
That's the time to watch Farce of the Penguins.
We turned it off. It never happened before or since. It was just like, you want to just like, this sucks. You want to like turn it off?
Did you change over to Meet the Spartans?
Probably.
Meet the Spartans?
Epic movie. We're going to get epic movie in here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Superhero movie. That was another one.
All written by the guy who went on to do Chernobyl, right? Mm-hmm. And became the WGA president, right?
Oh, is that?
Craig Mazin?
Craig Mazin wrote those movies?
Go through his filmography. It is scary.
Everybody's got to eat, dude.
It's true. Scary.
But so now the cats have been officially switched. Garfield makes it up to Carlisle Manor. And I think also sort of at this point, he thinks that John doesn't love. Like, there's a moment where something like, oh, man, nobody even cares about me. No one would even miss. Isn't that happening sort of here?
I don't know. I don't recall that in the movie at all.
It's the Liz thing.
Yeah,
I think
it's like Liz and blah, blah, blah. He's going to leave me for Liz and blah, blah. So now when he gets to Carlisle Manor, he's like, oh, this is living.
He is living. And all the barnyard animals are like, why does our prince all of a sudden like talk and act like a 1960s Vegas showman kind of guy? Yeah, that's sort of weird. This is a leftover line from we had an initial casting thing and now we don't have it anymore, but we didn't change the line where Richard E. Grant, as the parrot says, they're like, oh, maybe that's not Prince the Cat. And Richard E. Grant says he's not even the cat formerly known as Prince, which is definitely a leftover joke because Prince, the artist, was supposed to voice Prince the Cat.
I just don't understand how that would even have happened.
I don't know, but apparently, this is speaking of fucking Food Fight and, you know, having to redo stuff or whatever. Apparently, like, Prince recorded a bunch of dialogue.
Really?
And it didn't work or whatever. And they were like, no, now it's got to be Tim Curry. But because the performance was so different, they had to reanimate a lot of the Prince stuff.
Interesting. That's crazy. By the way, I need to apologize to Craig Mazin. This is his filmography that made me think that. He wrote Rocket Man, the Harlan Williams movie.
Oh,
Senseless, Scary Movie 3, Scary Movie 4.
There it is.
Superhero movie.
Oof.
Okay.
That's the one that stuck in my craw.
Former episode, Senseless.
Hangover Part 2, Identity Thief.
Ooh.
Okay.
Hangover Part 3, Huntsman, The Huntsman Winter's War.
Then
Chernobyl.
Wow.
I feel like I'm going through Chernobyl.
But he doesn't know what the deal is, but, like, Bob Hoskins realizes, I think he overhears Billy Connolly's speech to Lucy Davis, like, oh, they're going to kill us all, so we have to, like, prop up this fake dictator.
Right, because this way, if he still is the rightful heir to Carlisle Castle, then we're all gravy and no one's being euthanized in Christy Gnome's backyard.
I also think the stakes are a little high for these animals. I would just be like,
yep,
they're going to make us leave our home.
Thank
That's
you.
That's cute. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's not like Chicken Run where it's all chicken, so then you know it's death.
Yeah,
like
you know what the deal is with those chickens.
So, Billy Connolly's going to go to the show. I'm going to kill a bull, a fucking parrot, and anything else I see.
Dude, yeah, that's the craziest part, right? There's like a bull on the property. It's, I don't think you're getting away with that, dude. Yeah. No, I'm going to donate him to Spain.
Get some. I want a couple of bodies on this this bull, at least. Get him running through Spain.
Get
kill
him
a few people.
Stabbed with a sword for that fucking barbaric entertainment.
Wouldn't it be great him getting in the ass by a bull in this movie? I know that's too expensive to show.
But yeah, a real like boing. He gets poked with the horns.
He's flying in the sky. He got hit so hard on the fanny.
Stars are coming up. But Garfield is now in the manor, and he's still like showing Lucy Davis around. He's like, oh, this will be that. That'll be this. I'm going to grab your arse. And he's like, but what? He's a. Oh, it's Princey's back. And he has
Did I see a ghost cat?
So this is when he enlists Rommel to get Prince / Garfield. And this is when he's like, how does it, he's like, it's pants he's using, right? Or something? Or
yeah, he's like, oh yeah, like sniff these trousers, you see.
Right.
And that's what you're going to go chow down on instead of Garfield. And Rommel gets the scent. I guess Bill Connolly ain't washing them pants too good. And
oh, I love trousers.
Fucking bites this dude in the dick.
Yeah. It's 2006, so of course Vinnie Jones is voicing Rommel. That was the law at the time.
Wasn't 06 also the same year as I'm the Juggernaut Bitch? Was Last Stand 06?
I think it is. It might be 07, maybe.
It's around
07.
That time, though.
Yes, but legally, Vinnie Jones had to be in 3 to 5 movies a year.
Man, speaking of sell your stock, holy goddamn.
Oh, yeah.
2006 was the time to sell your Vinnie Jones.
What's he up to? Oh, he's got to have secret movies, right?
He's got secret. Well, he's got secret TV shows. He's doing the TV show of Guy Ritchie's The Gentlemen.
Oh, really?
That's there's a TV show?
There's a TV show that people are trying to tell me to watch, and I'm telling them, go fuck yourself.
Called The Gentlemen. The Gentlemen.
I think The Gentlemen is the last... or the most recent movie that I've just flat out turned off.
Right.
We watched really 20 minutes of it, and I was like, I kind of don't even understand what's happening in this movie, and we totally turned it off.
Yeah.
Oof. Somewhere around here, it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but it's just a quick cutaway thing, and I wanted to mention it because it is indeed the saddest, most pathetic part of this movie.
Mm.
John Arbuckle talking with what he believes to be Garfield. It's Prince the Cat, but he's like, you know, Garfield... I'd really like it if you were in my wedding. Oh man. Oh, it sucks.
That's pathetic.
It's really bad.
This motherfucker's got no friends at all.
Look, I, you know what? If you're that close to your cat and you've trained it to like bring the fucking ring down, whatever.
No.
If that cat is your best man,
you've got to find a bridge and you've got to find a way off it other than walking.
No. It's got to be a tuxedo cat for that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Save on the wardrobe.
Exactly.
Sure, that makes sense.
You really, ring bearer is the highest office a cat can hold.
Yes.
That is it in a wedding.
It should not be given a massive fortune, through bequeathment. It should not be elected to be the mayor of the town. Farthest it can go,
John,
as far as human operations, is
John,
walking a ring box down the aisle.
John, stop it. John, just get one of the girls to... No. Come on, buddy. Throw the petals. Throw the petals. Throw the petals on the little thing.
My niece is crying. She wanted to be the flower. No, my cat has to be the flower.
And it's wandering off. To hurt it back a little bit.
Batting at the curtains.
No, he doesn't like that either.
No. Well, his wedding's ruined.
Yes.
Oh, it's fire. That's fire. Okay, things are on fire now. Good.
That's a sign of good luck at a wedding.
Somewhere around here, too, we can't miss it. Winston is showing Garfield the ropes in the manor, and it's like, oh, yeah, get into the fucking dumbwaiter, whatever the situation is, and Garfield... farts in this dog's face.
Yes.
And Bob Haskins has to be like, oh, magnificent fart, sir. Oh, fantastic.
Good tone, sir.
Yeah.
Real smooth fart.
Smooth finish.
Yeah. There's that Chernobyl feeling right there. Oh, man. Yeah, he's going into a toy mansion.
Oh, that's what it is,
A cat house inside the cat's house.
And his fat ass can't get through the door, and when he squeezes through, he farts in this dog's face.
Yeah.
Real smooth, sire. Fantastic
smooth
work.
Smooth finish.
Ian Abercrombie goes up to Billy Connolly, like, oh, I found Prince in the city. Can you believe it? And he's like, oh, that's great. You know what? You need a vacation. You need to get out of the movie for a while. Mm-hmm. And he does kind of, he forces him on vacation. So he's kind of out.
Yeah, get Mr. Pitt out of the movie. Meanwhile, John and Liz, we have this quick scene. They wind up at a pub. Dude. Now this is, you're fucking playing with fire. You have ordered, air quotes, because this is a podcast,
sure,
lasagna at a London pub.
Dude.
You're just asking to shit on the bus.
Yeah. In England, that's called slop noodle. That's not called lasagna.
Let me go and play your slop noodle here.
Here's your slop noodle, love. Slop noodle. Do you want that with liver fat? Do you want kidneys in it?
Well, I better put peas in there because it's England. Let me just put some peas in there.
Oh. Everybody loves peas and carrots in their spaghetti sauce. Nothing better than a Sunday noodle slop.
Oh, my God.
But it's, and also, like, all right, so imagine, A, being an American, I would be very, like, sometimes, you know, mm-hmm, this happens. You travel abroad, happen to go all the time in Paris. So, like, you go into a place that's not exactly tourist friendly, and, like, you know, just but you ride it out. You're a cool person. But bringing your cat and dog to a pub.
Sure,
you're right. An American Yank. There's a football game on, mm-hmm, and then they're like, "I want fucking lasagna for my cat," and yep, they have to be like, "What for your what?"
Exactly, very weird.
They're
situation.
Beating the shit out of you.
Oh, absolutely, that cat's yep, dead.
Are you speaking Italian to me, sir? Because if so,
you're getting Jazzy Jeffed out of this bar.
And meanwhile, obviously, Prince Tim Curry's like, "Well, I don't. What is lasagna? I hate it. Oh, this is the best I've ever had."
Yeah, he learns to love it immediately. And boy, oh boy, we just couldn't resist ourselves. We have a, "Please, sir, may I have another? I have some more?"
Gotta be honest, lasagna would kill a cat. It's full of garlic. Yes, garlic can murder a cat like that.
Oh, because they're vampires?
Yes, they are like vampires. Yes.
They're vampires.
Onions, anything from the Lily family, Eric, is a no-go
really?
For cats. Onions.
Yeah.
All right.
But not fans.
They're not fans.
And then on the other side of this, well, wouldn't you know it, Garfield, not thrilled with the Carlisle line,
no,
he says, "Oh, don't you have any lasagna around here?" And they all go, "Lasagna? What's that?
We can only make that when the Black Eyed Peas are playing."
Dude, and we just have this cooking God montage damn, where we're dancing around and making shitty lasagna.
It is just...
with
oh my God.
Like they're all bad, but there is something specifically just like unsettling about the fact that it's the song that samples the Pulp Fiction thing that I'm just like, was that like we're being a little, you know, cinematic. We're just homage-y here. Fuck you.
The Dick Dale sounding guitar riff. Yeah.
Oof, it's bad. And like, yeah, all these animals. A, like, I understand like the animals, whatever. This lady was insane. She let them do what they want.
Right.
No one is like, what the fuck is going on in this kitchen?
Where is the staff through all of this? Right. Because these animals are making a loud racket
They're
in this kitchen.
Running amok.
And they just do it. They just make this lasagna. And then everybody's like over the moon. It's like, oh, this is all the animals love it.
It's disgusting watching all these things.
You're feeding a bull, a bulldog,
yes,
a fucking parrot.
Couple of goats,
uh-huh, lasagna, the diarrhea all over this mansion.
Yes. There's a pig. My God, the pig.
That should be a fun twist. And Billy Connolly's like, oh, we have to tear it down.
It's covered in shit everywhere.
Once the fucking elevator opens and a wave of liquid shit starts pouring out of it.
Yeah.
Also, big
I'm still
like
thinking about the shit coming out. Sorry.
Big like Garfield, like this is a thing Garfield wouldn't do, right? Like Garfield, what do we know about him? He's lazy as fuck.
Yes.
He forces John Arbuckle to wait on him hand and foot. There's no way that this cat would know the lasagna recipe.
No.
There's no way he would actually know. Like this is, you know, you get the ricotta and all that. Wouldn't know it.
He's making his own noodles. My God.
I know. No, this is not the Garfield I grew up with. He doesn't do things for himself.
Oh, you call it a lasagna. This is a classic slop noodle. Oh, we love this stuff. We love it.
Oh, great. Slop noodles. Put some beans in there. Some baked beans. Every meal needs a little baked beans in there. Also, this is
an entire shot of brisket. Just put it on top.
So somewhere around here, Garfield overhears Bob Hoskins and Richard E. Grant talking about how, like, yeah, we know he's a big fucking King Ralph-esque American idiot, but we have to go through with this. And, like, Garfield's little cat feelings get all hurt, and he's like, oh, I'll show them a thing or two. Mm.
So he starts to leave, but also, meanwhile, Tim Curry kind of forgets about his place.
Because he's loving being lazy in the hotel with Odie and everything,
and
too.
And eating lasagna. But then something, is it a newspaper article? Or there's a TV ad about Carlisle He's like, oh, right, I have to go back.
Yeah, yeah. He's sort of like, oh, he snaps out of it. Yeah, sort of a situation. Now
so Garfield is leaving while Tim Curry is on his way back to Carlisle Manor.
And meanwhile, Liz gets to the castle because she's taking this tour for, like, she has to separate.
Her and her breasts.
Right. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. No, it's
something for the lone men.
It's a titacular tour of this castle. She says to John, like, it's a weird, and I think this hints to she wanted to be there alone because she's like, oh, I'm going to a tour of the Carlisle Castle where the event's happening in the next few days or whatever. And he's like, oh, that sounds fun. And she goes, oh, it's actually for people speaking at the conference only.
Yeah.
That's a fucking lie. It has to be a lie.
Absolutely.
Like, I got to get this loser and his fucking dog and cat away from me.
I wanted to have some time in England by myself. I was going to read Pride and Prejudice at a coffee shop. It was going to be fucking great.
Now I was going to flick the bean in my hotel room. My God.
Now this fucking mouth-breathing boyfriend that I have, because he's the best opportunity I have in my shitty town, has stalked me to England.
I'm looking. Insane. I'm looking at this invitation here. It says, plus zero. Nobody I can bring.
So Roger Reese and the team of lawyers show up at Carlisle Castle, and you know Billy Connolly's shitting his pants here. Meanwhile, John is also on his way there because Odie shows him a newspaper of, oh, Prince gone missing, and he's like, oh, that cat. Oh, do you think they switched? Maybe we should go to the castle and figure it out. Cut to John humiliating himself, driving one of these smart cars. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm all for electric vehicles. These are just the most embarrassing looking cars.
These tiny little guys.
The little clown cars. Yeah. They're terrible. Terrible looking car. And he looks like a jerk driving it.
It's okay to have little cars. I know people out there have little cars.
Garfield himself is locked in, like, I guess this castle still has a functioning dungeon with a door in it, which is very strange.
Billy Connolly grabs him. He's like, well, you'll stay out of sight for the whole meeting. So he puts him in a dungeon.
Where Garfield somehow is acknowledging he has lost 7 of his 9 cat lives.
Yes,
it's kind of a funny little moment where he's like, oh, I ate that rotten whatever. And he's like doing like little hash marks on the wall, how many lives he's lost.
And he's like, wait, I should have 2 left.
Yeah. Well, he tried to kill himself in prison in the last movie.
Oh, that's right.
Right? He said, guard shoelaces, please. Yeah. That was a line in that movie, so I think one life is in this cell.
You don't wear those shoes. What are you doing, that cat?
So Garfield is busted out because there is a secret pet exit from this jail. So here's Bob Hoskins like, I'm coming for you, sire. Let's go.
And he's like, you don't even want me. He's like, well, we'd like you enough, I guess.
You're
and
sort like- of like King Ralph, my favorite movie.
But Garfield is on his way out now, and then he runs into Tim Curry. And
boy, oh boy, we could ourselves to do the duck soup joke. We just had to fucking do this.
Yes, we did.
Surprise twins, you got to do it. It's not an option.
At least it's something.
I agree. It is something in a sea of nothing.
Yeah, like, it definitely was 2 minutes of runtime.
That got us from 69 minutes to 71, Chris.
And then how does it end? Like Prince just like falls over or something?
Yeah, and he's like, I knew it was you or whatever.
Yeah. And so they just, you know, they figure out like, all right, this is what we got to do to get the manor back or whatever. Tim Curry does pull a I have just returned to you in our darkest hour kind of line, you know.
But then he gives an uninspiring speech, and then everyone's like, oh, he's like, well, I guess we'll just have to pack up and leave, I guess, is what he says. And then, like, girlfriend's like, no way, we're going to kick royal butt.
You got to kick royal butt, dude. You absolutely have to kick royal butt for the end of this movie.
It's like, he's just another bully, and what do you do from bullies? Run from them!
Yes.
I do like the old lady in the team of lawyers, like, because Connolly's going around, you know, being wacky at this point, and she goes, he's a bit of a tool, don't you think?
Yes.
Kind of a funny line.
Oh, my God. The scene where Garfield is trying to distract Rommel or whatever by calling him girly and sissy.
Oh, repeatedly.
That stood out in my mind. That's kind of a weird insult.
Well, I think he's doing, if you listen, he's doing a really, really, really phoned-in Arnold impression.
Really?
No way. Is that true?
Hey, girly man. Hey, sissy boy.
Oh, you got to Arnold defy that a little more then.
You do, because if not, yes, you're right. It does.
Otherwise, it just sounds weird.
It does. I mean, like, that's just the old SNL bad joke.
Well,
like,
we had a better take, but Arnold did send a cease and desist.
yeah.
Look, you know, we can't say no to the big man.
Yeah, you have to de-Arnold defy your impression, Bill Murray.
I said no to it the first time.
So Garfield's a distraction there, so Prince and the other barnyard animals can get inside the house, and we're like, we're driving Billy Connolly insane by showing up in the background of every scene. There's Prince, there's Prince, there's Prince.
Yeah, he's going nuts. I do love, at one point he's chasing something around this house. Billy Connolly takes a real hard fall down those stairs.
Yeah,
ooh, it's good.
Anytime I can see an old person fall down stairs, I love it. I will take it.
Because you might have just witnessed the last time they're going to ever stand up.
That's true.
You might have just done it.
Yeah.
And like the last 15 minutes of this movie is just Billy Connolly getting his ass kicked by animals.
Well, he's like, he loses his mind at a certain point and he picks up a crossbow and he's like, I don't care if whatever is if Prince is alive. Sign over the thing to me, Roger Reese.
Oh, right. Yeah, because that's really going to get them to be okay with this
movie. And then Lucy Davis shows up. She's like, I was in the movie. He's like, yeah, you're just now one of the hostages. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, they're crazy. Because, like, of course, like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do this. A police. And like, it's this person.
There's also a throwaway line there that like she was in on it with these people.
Oh, yeah. She's like spying.
She's spying on him.
Hey, whatever movie, whatever the fuck ever, dude.
Where's the movie? You just told me what happened in the movie, but where's the movie?
Dude, where's my movie?
Yeah.
That's the Lucy Davis cutscenes. I guarantee you it was her meeting with Roger Reese.
Right, yeah.
Roger Reese, by the way, nails a... two cats. Yes.
Absolutely. Pretty so great.
Cool. Fucking knocks that out of the park. It's just, it's,
love that
it's the lamest line in the world, but he fucking sells it.
And somebody does a, are we to believe that Prince has an exact doppelganger or something like that? And by the way, at some point around here, the smart car is pulled up. So John Arbuckle's back in the movie. And John Arbuckle doesn't know what the word doppelganger means and thinks it's like an insult or something.
Yeah, Ian Abercrombie says it and he's like, no, they just look alike.
Doppelganger. Where's Odie? Where's Odie? Where's Odie?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should put it in an Americanese. Doppel pussy.
She's dead, wrapped in lasagna. I'm sorry. What was it? Sloppy noodle.
You mean? Oh, sloppy noodle. Oh, that's what he's talking
about.
She
was dead wrapped in sloppy noodle down by the creek.
Give me you hate wonders?
You give me that Angelo score over this that scene of Prince eating the sloppy noodle.
Yeah. Give me like the ominous turn.
Yeah.
Somewhere around here, Billy Connolly has a gun to Liz's head. He's got it's like a big old timey gun that looks like the hearing end of an old timey phone.
A blunderbuss, yes.
Oh, there we go. That's, Steve knows real words.
That's the guns they have over there, right?
That's all that they use.
They're not allowed to have guns, right?
I believe they do not carry them on their persons when they patrol the streets,
But people, too, right? Like citizens.
Senator, I do not know. I would wager their gun laws are better than ours.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, you mean worse than ours? I'm kidding.
But yeah, so he's got this fucking huge pirate gun to this girl's head, and this is where... The dog fucking bites him in the dick again because it's been 2 minutes.
Oh, Rommel does, right?
Rommel does.
Nice.
It's been 2 minutes since the last time his genitals were punctured by a dog's mouth.
Yeah.
Which reminded me, did I ever tell you guys when I saw a dude straight up get bit in the dick by a dog?
No.
I think you might have, but I would like to hear it.
Dude, it's amazing. It's amazing. I was walking in my neighborhood to go get my car out of the garage. And there's this dude, and I'd seen him before with this dog, and the dog's always fucking off the leash and whatever. And I turn the corner to go to the garage, and there's the dude, and he's kind of like trying to get the dog to do something. Come on over here or whatever. And it's like, you know how this would be helped is if you had this dog on something that you could pull and direct the dog where to go.
Sure.
So that's not going on. He's like, come on, we got to go. Come on, come on, come on. And he tries to like grab the dog and, you know, get him over, you know, out of the sidewalk, whatever he was trying to do.
Sure.
And this dog was not having it that day, my friends, and just bit this dude right in the penis.
Hell yeah.
And this guy, like, I saw it all go down.
My
and
nerds!
He straight up was like, nah! And he fell down on his knees.
Yes.
And the dog was just sitting there like, told you. It was the funniest, funniest moment.
Did you laugh at him in the street?
I waited because he was a big dude, which was, it made it funnier. Of course. It was big, oh, my big dude dick. But I waited until I was like 50 feet away to be like,
yeah,
that guy's dick.
The harder they fall.
And it was just, it was one of those things where like no one else was around because I wanted to be like,
you should have gone and helped him, done like, you should have done mouth to mouth on his dick.
Yeah, you should have sucked his cock to make sure he was all right.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm going to need you to suck the venom out.
My dog's a poisonous dog.
Well, sir, I've never said this before, but your ball sack's going to need 15 stitches.
Oh, dude, that is like a nightmare scenario. Oh,
but it's one of those things, too, where you want someone around so you could be like, get a load of that. And there was just nobody. I was just alone in the universe watching a dude get his
That's the
dog
danger. The danger of pets. You got you invite a bunch of sharp teeth into your house.
Yeah, yeah. And then any minute, you can just have your ball blood all over the floor. Yes.
It can happen to you any second.
Any day.
Look out. You look at your dog or cat's eyes. He's thinking of...
Thinking
they,
about biting?
They are thinking killer. About biting your dick off.
That's right.
Or whatever you have.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah, whatever. Wouldn't you know it, the day is eventually saved.
John Arkwell punches him in the face.
Yes. So he's out for the count. We get the proposal right
and
here.
And he needed to be, like, brought down a peg for that punch to be really something. Like, he'd be shown as weak earlier. Maybe Liz is like, Jesus fucking Christ with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he shows his worth in this scene.
You're totally right, because she's like, wow, that's the most romantic thing I've ever seen.
Why?
You're right. There needs to be a moment where, like, they're at the pub and he's like, "Ah, little shrimp, move over." You know what I mean? Like, that kind of a thing.
Exactly. And you could have had it in that scene where they're at a pub feeding a cat lasagna.
What are you, fucking crazy? Slop noodles with a cat?
I'm an animal lover, sir, and I'm going to have to take this cat from you. It's disgusting.
And maybe she says something about, like, I can only imagine, you know, marrying someone who's going to stand up for us or whatever.
Sure, exactly.
But yeah, so he's out for the count. Take him away, whatever.
Take him away toys.
Take him away toys, indeed. And then it's just animal party time. It's fucking music, needle
it's
drop
been
time.
71 minutes. Let's get these babies bopping in the aisles, baby.
Dude, and you got Tim Curry, the poor bastard, just has to go, bust a move, man.
Oh, yeah.
And just like,
well, you know, Bill Murray was like, I had to do it, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm doing it. Tim's doing it.
Now Carlisle Castle is like an animal castle slash sanctuary is the idea.
And smells just like it, too. Mm-hmm.
And they're all like in the pool. That's going to be great for the fucking filter and that goddamn thing.
Jesus.
And they just go, when the going gets tough, the great ones party. Yeah. Like it's a fucking Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Nice. I wish.
And that's the end of it. And then 10 minutes of credits with a photo slideshow.
An extended credit sequence. Wowza.
A month after this is going to be like abandoned Wayne Manor. It's just going to be overrun. The fucking pool's going to be green.
You're going to rebuild it dog by dog, cat by cat.
And I clocked it. End credits hit at 72 minutes.
Ugh. Incredible.
It's nice. Really wild.
Oh,
and then it just like finally when those pictures go away, it's sort of irises out on Garfield. Like someone made this for like their high school media project. It's such amateur hour shit, this movie.
PowerPoint.
But that is the end of Garfield, the Tale of Two Kitties. We'll go around the horn here for some final thoughts, Mr. Siska.
It's rough stuff, folks. But you know, it's totally okay. If this is your favorite film, I know like a lot of people love movies, you know,
and
the title of our show is off-putting to people. I want people to know that we all love movies here, and even though this movie was bad, I'm thankful for being alive to having watched a movie. I saw a movie.
So you love this movie?
No.
Christopher Cabin.
Oh, no, it's a piece of shit, and if you're the one person out there who loves this movie, stop right now. I will send a cease and desist. It's just a waste of time. Like if you want to put this on in the background where your kids just shitting around, sure, I understand that,
right?
But like if you pay attention to this for any fucking amount of time, you're going to be immediately turned off and immediately just like want to do anything else. I have nothing but bad things to say about that, so
fair
there
enough.
We go.
Steven.
Well, I'm Garfield and I'm going to review my own movie now. No, I'm not.
That would be three stars. Insane. Three stars.
No, I it's better than the first one, but it's still awful. It's embarrassing. And again, like it does just sort of leave anything like there's so many real narrative threads to make this an actual sort of kids movie that would have some just not even teeth, but like staying power. Like I barely remember this movie already.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. It's nothing. It's air.
Hold your attention.
Mm-hmm. It is the most titacular children's film
Absolutely.
I've seen in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a fucking rancid litter box of a movie, man. Mm-hmm. It totally... It's just not a thing. It feels like there's so many underbaked ideas or shit that they just ran out of money and didn't film or so, just like non-ideas for things. It's all bad. Connelly is fine. He is in it. He's entertaining. Ian Abercrombie is pretty fun too, I guess. But boy, it's just a whole lot of nothing and I did not care for it. And I guess I'm alone in this. I think the first one is better.
There you go.
That is just me. But that is going to do it for this episode on Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties. If you want more We Hate Movies, of course, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where this month we got a brand new We Love Movies all about Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, which was a fun one.
Yeah, some more fun accents in that episode. So check
Absolutely.
Out.
Crikey. We are going back to the Planet of the Apes for Animation Damnation this month.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the show was called Return to the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Hear us talk about real schlocky, speaking of cheap, 1970s animation there for sure. Well, who are we doing on the Gleep Glossary?
We are doing Callista,
okay.
Who is a, let's just say it's a really fun story, and
okay.
I want people to experience it through us. If you don't know Callista, don't look it up on Wikipedia.
I'm not going to look.
Tune into our Star Wars sideshow and listen to us explain the lore
yes.
of Callista.
Can't wait.
Not Flockhart.
Not Flockhart.
Not Flockhart. Okay. Steve, we've got some scuzzy teachers on Melrose 210 this
that
month.
That Gil Myers narrowly escapes the noose. just this guy, man. I don't like the looks of this guy. I don't like
yeah.
anything about him.
Yeah.
And then also we've got some Melrose placeting going on there, wherein Allison's it's getting a little gross for Allison and other things.
Yep. Getting gross for Allison, getting really uncomfortable for Jane because her ex-husband's being forced to invest in her fashion studio.
Yes.
Also might be becoming a terrible pimp at some point.
Yes.
Soon.
Yeah.
Oh, guess right. I'm a pimp now. That's cool. And a surgeon. Weird.
We are closing out the first ever Too Old for This Shit on X-Men 97, which is my favorite thing that's ever happened, I think.
I think it might be my favorite new show of the year, honestly.
Yes,
I don't know what does would top it at the moment.
See, there you go. Like if you're tired of our negativity, mm-hmm. there's plenty to be offered on that Patreon that we actually do care about. X-Men 97, we've been loving.
Yes.
I watched all the ape cartoons.
He loves
every
the
episode.
Ape. This guy loves the ape
it's
cartoon.
Real loser shit. It's great.
Yeah. The Nexus is our Star Trek recap show, and we really enjoy Star Trek. We're talking TOS and TNG coming to the end of TOS.
Coming down the road. This is the penultimate episode of TOS we're handling here.
That's right. That's right.
Ending with a whimper on that show. Yeah. But we got some good TNG with Riker fucking around.
Hell
a
yeah.
Bit.
Yeah. Really good Riker centric episode. So yeah, all that. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. All that and more, I should say, of course. Now, here on We Hate Movies, which you can also get on Patreon ad free, by the way. Just if you were hearing commercials today and didn't want to be fast forward, and boy, do we have a fix for you. But show rolls on next week. Steve Sadak, what motion picture will we be discussing?
You know, we dedicated April this year to Charlie Sheen, but we could have done April, which we did last year.
Yes,
so just as a remnant, we are going Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
That's right. This
I
is
can't
the
wait. I love this movie.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see
it's
what happens.
It's a great one. It's a grim ass movie. It's the sequel to the 68, the first sequel. I enjoy it. It's going to be fun as hell to talk about.
Never saw it.
Oh, really? Oh.
I haven't seen either.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ooh, okay. It's a couple first-timers.
You know what? You guys are going to get ape pills.
I have the Blu-ray collection.
You
got to
go through them all. I love all those movies, pretty much.
They're really great, and they're grim as fuck, and it's awesome. So next week, when we get grim as fuck talking about Beneath the Planet of the Apes, until then, I've been Andrew Dupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Kappen.
Take it easy.